Western Hills. Glad you're here to worship with us. If we haven't met before, my name's Rick. I'm your worship leader this morning. Let's stand and let's bring some joy into this house.
You guys can have your seats for just a minute. How is everybody? Pretty good, pretty good. If we haven't met yet, my name is Cullen Swearingen, and I am the student and the serve-all pastor here at Western Hills Church. And so this morning, I just wanted to give you guys a few quick updates on some really cool things that God has been doing over the last few weeks, right? The school year is in full swing, right? Many of you know this well. And with that, our partnership with Young Life has also been in full swing. And through this, some really cool connections are getting made. And so what this looks like is we have adults from right here at Western Hills Church who are going out of these walls to engage with new teens, new families at things like sporting events, at Young Life clubs. and other things like that, or even just getting drinks and stuff like that. So this has been really cool because these are relationships that are being formed with adults who have this heart for living out the reality of Jesus, the love of Jesus for these teens, these families. And so many of you from right here are getting to go out and do that and join other Young Life workers from around the community in engaging that. And so it's had some really cool impacts, and you can see some of the photos of the opportunities that these students have had. And it's just one of the ways that we're getting to share the love of Jesus with those many of these students who don't know Jesus and maybe have never been in a church, maybe have no clue what that looks like, and they're getting to have those relationships and those connections. And so that's one of the cool things that's been happening. Another thing is Upward. Soccer has been going for a few weeks now, and we have close to 200 players who are out here not just to learn the sport of soccer, but to forge connections in a positive and sportsmanship-focused and ultimately Christ-focused context. And it's the sport is really just the context through which connections are made, right? Relationships are made, and it's through those relationships that are, the goal is that that reality of Jesus gets lived out. And so some really cool things going on. So first thing, I just wanted to say a big thank you to any of you who are involved in those things, whether it's Young Life, whether it's Upward, or really even any of the other ministries that are going on right now. God is doing some really cool things, and so thank you for that. But I also wanted to challenge us a little bit, because it would be easy for a lot of us to sit back and see those cool things happening and hear about these cool stories and to think, okay, that's great that somebody else is doing that, but I don't really need to play a part in that. And the danger of that mentality is that if everybody has that mentality, then none of this cool stuff happens, right? The workers don't go into the fields for the harvest. And that's not who we are as Western Hills Church. And so the challenge for each of us, even those of us who have maybe been in a season being plugged in or just kind of in a different season of life, the challenge is, okay, what does God have for me right now that I'm supposed to be getting plugged into? And it might be Upward. It might be Young Life. It might not be, but it might be. And so if we just lean on that thought of somebody else will do it, then we'll never move beyond that wall to see what God can do through us to expand his kingdom. And so that's my challenge to all of us, to take that step, to take that leap. And right in your seats next to you is a tangible step for you to take that step. And so you can fill out this connection card with your basic information, name, contact, stuff like that, and then just jot down if God is nudging you to get plugged in to some ministry. Whatever it is, and we would love to help you get connected and plugged in and begin that journey of what that looks like. So we know that this is how we grow as disciples, and God will do really cool things through it, and we get stories like this for that. So take that step. I encourage you. One last thing as a step is this coming Monday night, we will be having our first lead night of the fall season, all right? This is exciting for us. We've been on a little bit of a break through the summer. If you don't know what lead night is, this is an opportunity for leaders, but also just volunteers or those of you who are possibly just interested in joining a ministry to show up, share a meal together, rub shoulders with other people who are living out the reality of Jesus, and then to hear a little bit of training about how all of us as the church can do better about living out the reality of Jesus and what that looks like. And so it will begin at about 6:00. We'll start serving food, and then we'll move into a time of training and should wrap up sometime around 7:45, 8:00. Some ministries will have a breakout to add additional content to that. But it'll be awesome. It'll be exciting. And again, if you're not connected to a ministry yet, this could be a great opportunity for you to get to know some folks who are. To begin seeing what that looks like for you to get plugged in. So lead night, this coming Monday night, we hope to see you there. Awesome things happening. But with that, I'm going to pray for us, and then we will continue in worship and singing praise. Father, thank you for opportunities like Upward and Young Life to begin living out your reality beyond these walls. to be intentional about going out to engage lost people with your gospel instead of waiting for them to possibly walk through the doors on a Sunday morning. So we just pray a blessing over those folks who are going out, who are engaging our community for you, that you would energize them, give them guidance and clarity. And just for as the ministries as a whole, we pray that you would bring workers so that we can all get better at living out that reality to our community. We just offer you a whole lot of thanks for all of the work that you've done over these years through the various ministries here at Western Hills Church. And we just look forward to seeing how you continue to do that same work, that kingdom work through us. So yeah, we just ask a blessing over the rest of this time together as we praise you, as we look to you, and I just ask that we would be transformed by you in this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Let's stand to continue in worship together.
Stand a chance when I stand in your love, my
to surrender all. God, we want to make room in this place, in our hearts and our minds, God, for you to work, for you to push us, for you to convict us. God, we want to do that this morning. And not just for our own benefit, but God, that we can turn that around and we can share it with those close to us and those around us and to the ends of the earth. God, we thank you for that reminder this morning. We thank you for the freedom that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we just want to give you praise this morning. Speaking of giving him praise, Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's praise his name together. Here we go. One, two, three.
Time.
singing with us. You guys sounded good this morning. You guys can have your seats.
Sorry, man, we were back there rocking. good morning. Welcome. Welcome to those of you online as well. And we are at week three in the This Verse Changed My Life series. Before we dive into this real quick, lead night, we serve food at 6, big talk at 6:30. It's going to be great. We'll be down on the other end of the building. It's going to be a fun night. Really, really love to see you there tomorrow night. And now, week three, lovely guest with us this morning, Amy English.
Okay.
Let's jump into this because you struggled with this concept of this verse changed my life.
Yes, and I think I'm having technical difficulties, but I'm good. Can
you
hear me?
Did you turn on your microphone?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
But it flipped off my ear. Can you hear me? We good? Yeah, nothing's wrong? Okay. Yes, I struggled. I saw that I was gonna be up with him and I was like, okay, I don't have a problem with that. And then as I started listening to the series, my stress increased a little bit. And listening to Suzanne and Danny last week, I loved it. It was so good because that's not just a story for them, but it's life and I've seen it. But then the flip side of it, as I was like, I gotta do this next week, my stress levels just went up out the roof. And I think it's because just there isn't a verse that I look at and go, man, when I heard this verse, my life 180, like totally changed my life. And I just was like, dude, I can list a few of them, but I don't have this one that I'm like, now everything's gonna be different because I know this verse. And so I think as we talked through it, he talked me off the ledge, right? You're gonna be able to do this. I think it's more of how I was brought up. I grew up in a Christian home and my parents, not only did we go to church, but my parents lived out their faith. And they modeled it for us and taught us how to do the same thing. And so when we made decisions, okay, they walked me through and they did this. You pray, right? When you have a decision to make, you pray, you go to God. What does God want you to do? And I saw them make those decisions. My mom made some hard decisions and I watched her do that. And so their faith was on display for me to see. And they taught me to do the same thing. When you have a situation that comes up, pray about it, seek God. What does his scripture say about it? And then consult godly people that you know are growing in their faith. And so I'm thankful for that. But when I think of the verse that changed my life, mine is more of a reservoir of sorts of verses that I run to when I hit tight spots. And I'm super thankful for those, but it's not like I have them on paper and go, here's my situation. Okay, scroll to this verse. But I have a couple that that I just kind of go to. And I think as we have parented, we're not perfect parents, but I think we have taught our own kids to make decisions this way and to run to God when they have their situations too.
I think for us, we really wanted, like we didn't, you know, some of you are going to find this shocking, but like we didn't have family devotionals, you know, every week where we sat down and shoved memory verses down our kids' throats. We just figured that'd be a really great way to raise bitter kids. But we did give them, I think we wanted for our kids kind of what you experienced as growing up, and that is we wanted them to have this foundation of this is how we do life, and the scriptures and God's word and how he speaks to us become a compass of giving us our true north. Like that's our north. This is going to be our guide. These are the guardrails. And so let's do life in this guardrail and this margin. And I think we did all right with that.
Yeah. And you guys, there might be some of you, I'm assuming in here, that grew up in a Christian home and you're in that similar spot that you can't just think of one verse that you go to and like this verse has made everything different. But like me, you have this reservoir of things that you kind of live by that's like your compass of sorts.
And the two that I go to that are my go-to verses, one of them is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge him. I've goofed it, I think.
You learned the King James Version.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then my other one is James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. And those are like my two just life verses that I go to no matter what I'm going through. And I honestly believe to my core that God is good. I trust him no matter what my circumstances look like. I know he's good, and I know he has the big picture, and I'm banking on that, right? When I have situations where I don't know A or B or C, I don't know any of those things, but God has the bigger picture, and I firmly believe that to my core. And when I go to these verses, if I hit a situation, I know that if I don't know what to do, James 1:5 says that I can go to God and I can ask him, and he's gonna give me wisdom. And then he may not give me the big picture, but I'll be able to take one step forward. And I bank on that. And I'm okay that I don't have the big picture.
But I think that is, to me, that's the huge piece that you're talking about, because you will not find wisdom without obedience.
Correct.
You know, the key to getting wisdom and clarity is obedience. And we've seen this in our kids. We've seen this with other parents. We've experienced it ourselves. Is you pray, and you get this insight of wisdom, and then it's hard. Like, it's hard. It's hard to be obedient. And you go, okay, God, give me another set of wisdom. Give me another, not that wisdom. Give me something else. I don't know if that's the one I want. And God goes, no, this is what you need to do. And it's like, okay, anything else? There are the doors. And so you avoid that door. And what happens is now here comes this snowball of decisions that none of them are going to be well. And God doesn't give you any more wisdom, because he's like, man, I gave you wisdom and you didn't take the stuff that I gave you. And so I think what you said about even not knowing the whole path or not knowing the whole picture, you trust God enough to go, okay, well, I'm going to take this step. And then when I take this step, I'm banking that he's going to give me the next one as well. And I think that's huge, because I think so many folks wrestle with that of, I got to know the whole picture. No, you don't. Just be obedient in that moment. One thing that this is setting up a tension, because you grew up this way. I did not. And this is going to set up a tension between us when we first get married. One part of that tension was watching you and your parents live this out. I knew that this was real for you, but that was also the most frustrating thing about dating you and meeting you and your family, and that is, oh my gosh, this is real for them. It's like, this is not real for me. I don't know if I'm even gonna ever get to this point of where, you know, I'm gonna trust that God always said. And I know that at some points in your life, you've had to wrestle with folks going, this can't be real. This is not really how you function.
Yeah, one like significant time that I remember having this conversation with somebody. We had just moved to Arkansas, and we hadn't been there very long, and it wasn't turning out as peachy as we thought it was going to be. And we were sitting with Grant was a student pastor. We were sitting with the worship pastor and his wife over dinner at their house. And, you know, we were just talking about our stories and where we are and all that. And she was like, okay, well, when that happened in your life, did you cry? No. And so we talk about something else, and she's like, did you cry then? And she just kept asking me that. Every time I'd tell her something of my past or of my story, she'd just be like, did you cry? I'm like, no. And I was like, why do you want to know if I cried or not? And she was like, I just want to know what rocks you or what, you know, what messes with you. And I know it kind of sounds cliche, but I firmly believe that God has gifted me with the gift of faith. I trust him. And it may be, you know, hard things, no matter what it is, I am banking on that he has the big picture and that he's good. And it may not work out like I want it to, but he's good and I trust him. And now that doesn't always mean that, like I always have it put together. Recently I've had some teacher certificate mess. And we were in Kansas City and I got an email that it wasn't all working out like I thought it was gonna work out. And may or may not have bursted into tears in IKEA. And I was literally in IKEA going, just wandering around. And of course, you know, Grant's big eyes. He's like, it's gonna be okay.
I kept telling the people, this is what happens when you don't give clear instructions on your furniture.
Yeah, so it was a hot mess and got it together, and then it started over in Home Depot when we were later in Home Depot. So, you know, I do have moments that, you know, I lose it. But ultimately, I know he has the bigger picture. And like even in that situation, there wasn't a moment when I read that email and I was like, all right, God, I need wisdom here. I don't know what to do. I just jumped off the bridge and just started sobbing, thinking of worst case scenario. But most of the time, I am going to these verses because I know he's got it, even if I don't know what to do next.
So this sets up probably the tension that we wrestled with for at least the first 6 years of our marriage. And that is, you are coming, I start following Christ in college. You're much further down the road in your walk with Christ when we get married. And as we get married, I'm also in ministry, and this is kind of how you roll most of the time. That's not necessarily how I was rolling at that time. And then on top of this, we're learning and we're being mentored by folks that are telling us, Grant, you have to be the spiritual leader of the family.
Yeah, and I grew up hearing that. I don't know if anybody else did, but the man is the spiritual leader of the household.
Right. And so... And I don't want to get in a big theological discussion about this, except to say this. If you have an unhealthy, unbiblical understanding of leadership, and then you will try to apply that spiritually in your marriage, what you get is an unbiblical, unhealthy marriage. And I think that was what was happening with me. I understood leadership. I mean, I was in the army. I know how to lead. Okay, spiritual leadership. So I pray before, it's like that phrase I didn't understand. So it just set us up for conflict and tension all the time over stuff that was really unimportant, and then stuff that was important. We found ourselves kind of in tension a lot.
Correct. And one of those things was when we first got married, I handled the finances and, you know, paid bills and all that good stuff. And then I had a mentor say, you know, Grant, as the spiritual leader, he needs to be in charge of the finances. And I was like, oh, okay. Right. So I was like, dude, you need to be in charge of the finances. That's your, as a spiritual leader. And he was like, okay.
Well, how hard can it be?
So he did it. We quickly found out that was not, we threw that out the window really fast.
Bills did get paid.
Yeah, we paid lots of $29 fees, I think. And
these fees are killing us.
And I finally was like, this isn't working. I don't know who thinks that, but it's just easier. It causes less tension when I handle it. And so.
But the problem was we had a paradigm that I just didn't think was complete. That wasn't biblical and wasn't complete. So we end up going to a marriage conference, and Dr. Crawford Loritz was speaking, and they had a women's section and a men's section. And this was the verse that he unpacked for us. Finally, all of you, be like-minded and sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, give a blessing since you were called for this. And in the men's side, as he began to apply this within the context of marriage, there were really some light bulbs that went off for me about, oh, this is what spiritual leadership looks like. Oh. And, you know, this is a meaty verse, so there's a lot in here. But the big two things, I mean, the big first thing was that, you know, my spouse is not my enemy. She's a blessing. My spouse is not my enemy. She's a blessing.
Yeah, and when they split us up and we were in the women's section, we did talk about this, and she made us say that over and over again. My spouse is not my enemy. My spouse, and we kind of giggled about it, but she was like, let's think about it, right? Think about your when you're together, your conflict, stuff like that. Your spouse is not your enemy. He's your friend. And sometimes we treat our spouses a lot differently and harsher than we would our friends. And we should be compassionate and humble when we interact with them, because we love them, and right. We should love them in our actions.
So at that point in our marriage, when we would argue about things, there was always that fight of who's going to get the last word in. Even once the decision had been made, and like we even agreed on the decision, it was like, okay, who's going to get the last shot in? And I knew immediately in that context that this verse was telling me, you don't, Grant. You don't get the last word unless it's a blessing. And I mean, I was just cut to the core about, oh man, this spiritual leadership, this is not fun. Like, this is not what I thought spiritual leadership was. So it set us up for the first few times we argued. It was some really funny, it's funny now, it wasn't funny in the moment, but as we're getting heated, this phrase, my spouse is not my enemy, repay insult with blessing, and the temperature gets rising, and the Spirit's just telling me, you need to tell Amy right now what you love about her. And I'm going, this is not really a good time. This is not really a good time. I'll send it in a note, but I don't want to send it right now. And it was like, no, right here. So in the middle of the conflict, I just remember saying, man, I love this passion. I love this sense of justice that you have. And Amy would stop, and she'd go, are you kidding me? No, you can't. No, we're fighting right now. And I just remember, I want to tell you that this blesses me. I'm not really enjoying being on this side of the sense of justice, but I appreciate the value, right? And this kind of began to change the temperature of some of our conversations. Is that?
Yeah, and always thinking that when we're in conflict of, he's not my enemy, he's my friend, right? And I think the perspective is, how would I treat my friend in this situation? Oh, probably wouldn't say that. Probably wouldn't do that, right? We wouldn't treat our friends when we're having conflict, right? If you can think of some of the conflicts you've had, I wouldn't say that to my friend. I'm like, oh, but he's a better friend, right? And so I think keeping that in perspective, I'm going to handle the argument a lot differently. And I think in just some day-to-day things around the house, I was laughing this morning, actually. So we have a magic sink in our house. That's the joke. It's magic.
You guys need to get one of these magic sinks.
You do. If Grant puts the dishes in the sink, they will magically disappear. By me. And so that's the joke. And so it depends on how I'm feeling on the day. Sometimes I'll be like, dude. And the kids are like, dad, put your stuff in the dishwasher. Like, it's in the sink. It's right there, the dishwasher. So we kind of mess with them. But I heard once from a speaker to say that to see his dishes in the sink as an opportunity to bless my husband. I get to serve him right now. And I know some of you are like, that's the dumbest thing ever, but it's not. If I have a different perspective this morning, his dishes were in the sink, and I was like,
so the magic sink worked?
Blessing, it did.
Okay.
It worked. And so I was like, how can I serve him? I can serve him by putting the dishes in the dishwasher. Why are they not there? That is not important, right? Why didn't he? Who cares? I can serve him by putting the dishes in the sink. And I think it's kind of a mind shift. How would you treat your friend? I wouldn't yell at my friend for not putting her dishes in the dishwasher. In fact, I would probably tell my friend, don't do those. I'll do those for you. I don't think I can do that. I don't know. If you'll put them in the sink, I'll load them.
That's what makes the sink magic.
Okay, I'm a work in progress.
Okay, we also have a magic dishwasher that unloads itself, although I know how that one
No,
works.
You unload the dish. You help.
I know, it's magic for you.
Truth.
So.
Truth.
Anyway, but for me, kind of, I know we're kind of laughing a little bit, but for me, there's a phrase in this verse that really cleared up what spiritual leadership is. It really cleared up my role as a husband, and I think it cleared up her role as a wife, and that's that first phrase that says, finally, all of you be like-minded. This verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 comes at the end of Peter talking about domestic relationships. And so what Peter says at the end of all of these instructions is, listen, if you don't get anything else right, finally be like-minded. And for me, that was like a light bulb that went off in my head that went, spiritual leadership for me is I have to figure out what Jesus wants us to do. I've got to figure out a way to let Jesus get the last word in this. And it's not really about what she wants. It's not really about what I want. It's definitely not about what the kids want. Absolutely not what they want. But it is seriously about trying to figure out what it is that God wants us to do. And God's not going to tell me one thing and then tell her something different. That's not how God works. And so that's the goal of marriage. That's the goal of us figuring stuff out is we've both got to be on this journey of figuring out, okay, what is it that Jesus wants us to do? And that's kind of, that cleared some things up for me in terms of spiritual leadership. Now, we still had times when we
don't agree.
Right. When we both thought, well, no, Jesus is saying this. No, Jesus is saying that. And so, you know, at that point we fight and whoever wins the fight wins.
There you go. just kidding. We don't. And we do fight, but, well, not like. Fight. The discussions, well, most right? Of the Isn't that what they're called? Discussions.
Yeah, well, no, we've had fights too. Yeah, and the fights typically isn't necessarily on what to do. The fight is typically about, okay, how are we going to get there?
Correct. Correct. And I think when we have those tension moments and those when we don't agree, like, what's the goal? Go to God, right? We got to go reset. Here we go. Go back to God, pray, study scripture, and then come back together. Yeah. And ultimately, he's going to lead us to the same spot.
And I'll say this, if it's God's will, it's his bill. You just write that down, let me explain. If it's God's will, it's his bill. If I'm convinced that what God wants us to do, then it's not my job to convince her. It's his job. It's God's job to change her mind, not mine. It's not my job. And he will change her mind in his time, in his way, in the way that he wants to do it.
Yeah, and when we moved here we were going to move here, when we lived in Colorado, and this whole Western Hills thing started happening, we had only been there for 2 years, and it was amazing, right? We had amazing friends, and just everything was fantastic. It was a great time of healing, and the whole Western Hills thing started coming up, and I was like, we're not going there, are we? And he was like, no, we're not yet. And it started going through, and he's like, this isn't gonna happen. And then it'd keep going, and he was like, so I think it might happen. Yeah, I think this is what God wants us to do. And I was like, absolutely not. And I've always had this conversation with people because we've moved quite a bit, right? We started in Emporia, and we went to Arkansas, we went to Colorado, and we came here. And the conversation has just always been like, I don't care where we live, God's gonna lead us wherever. I'm on a journey with my husband. Wherever God leads, I'm going, and I'll do that. And I did not feel that way when it wasn't Western Hills. It was just like, I am done. God, I'm done. I can't move again. I can't start over. And, you know, the whole process at all, it's a mess if you've ever moved. And so I just was like, no. Do I ultimately want what God wants me to do? Yes, but no, I'm not.
So she says, right, so she said no, and I remember calling the search team back going, yeah, it's not going to happen. And they're like, well, what's going on? I said, well, we're not coming. And it was like, well, don't you think that God's working this way? I went, well, listen, God hadn't told Amy that, so until God does, we're good. And I tell this to young men all the time, particularly young men that feel like they're called in the ministry. I always ask them, what does your spouse think? Or what does your wife think? And, well, she's not on board. Well, then you're not called. You're not called. Because God will give you like-mindedness. He always will. And there may be a reason for the no. And I think there was a reason for the no. I think there was at that moment. I think there was a pause. There were some things that Western Hills needed to figure out.
Stubborn.
There were some things we needed to figure out.
Truth.
And I knew this too. I knew Amy's heart. I knew that she was going to seek the Lord, and I knew that she was going to seek to be obedient to the Lord. And since I know that about her, I'm not worried about it. You got, either I'm going to change or she's going to change, because we both want to be obedient to God. So that's the bottom line. And if we're praying with that, and if that really is our intention, then God's going to make us like-minded. Now, here's the warning in this. If one of you just doesn't want to be obedient just for spite, God has a habit of sending you through the same school over and over and over again until you learn the lesson. He just seems to have a habit of going, oh, you don't want to obey me on this. Oh, okay, great. Guess what the next conflict that's going to come down the pipe in your life, guess what it's going to be about? Yeah, that last lesson that you thought you were going to get away from. He just seems to kind of keep bringing up those lessons until you get obedient. And so, but I knew your heart.
Yeah, and I was having a stubborn, you know, ultimately that's exactly what it was just me being stubborn and being like, no, I didn't really have any reasons other than I was enjoying where we were, but it was completely selfish and stubborn. And I had a Bible study moment. I was sitting in a Bible study in somebody's house, and it was a Beth Moore study, and we were walking through Jesus and disciples, and you know, Jesus asked some of the disciples, what do you want? And it was kind of at that moment I was like, oh, I can't cry, there's all these people and I can't explain why I'm crying. And I'm like, I wanna follow you, I'll go, okay. And so like I had, ultimately that's what I wanted. I was just had that season of being stubborn.
So anyway.
It happens.
So here's the question for you. Where are you at today? What of this journey did you need to hear today? And let me just kind of give you some highlights here, because this isn't just about marriage. The verses that we talked about today can apply in any relationship that you find yourself in. So if you're single, I would say to you, yeah, date and find a spouse that loves Jesus more than you. I mean, that's what you want. You want to be with someone who loves Jesus more than they love you. And so just maybe that's what you need to hear today. Or maybe you're in a place in your life and you're like, I don't know what to do. I just don't have any clarity about it. Man, have you just stopped and asked? Just ask God. Just beg God for some wisdom. And then just put yourself in a position of obedience. Put yourself in a position of, okay, I'm going to listen and then I'm going to obey. Maybe that's what you needed to hear. The 1 Peter 3 verse that talks about giving blessing for insult, that principle works with any relationship. It can work in your work. It can work at schools. It can work with teachers. It can work with students. It can work between parents and kids. The idea of when the temperature rises on some conflict in home, understanding that, hey, listen, let's start speaking blessing to one another and not evil and evil and insult for insult. It can help in any kind of relationship that you've got these principles. Is that what you needed to hear today? And let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these verses. I thank you for homes that are living out their faith in ways that gives folks an opportunity to go, I may not have a verse, but I've got this incredible reservoir of verses that are functioning as my north, that's functioning as a compass in my life, that's giving me direction. I'm very thankful for that, Father. So thank you for homes that are doing that. Father, I also thank you for those verses where ambushes at those strategic moments in our life, at those places in our life where you know that we need to hear something specific from you, and you put those verses in our lives and they intersect us right on that, in a way that only you would know. And I thank you for those moments as well. Father, I pray for those who needed to hear the idea of asking for wisdom, or maybe they needed to hear the idea of they need to be obedient so that they can get more clarity and more wisdom in their life. Or Father, I pray for marriages who may be just really struggling under a paradigm that isn't biblical, that isn't your heart for marriage. Or maybe they just needed a new way of understanding how to relate to one another. And Father, I just pray that 1 Peter 3, 8, and 9 would become kind of their rally cry for them and their home, and not just their relationships, but maybe even if kids are involved as well. And Father, for those of us that have relationships at work or friendships that sometimes we say they need some extra grace, they're just hard places. I know we've got some folks that just have some hard places and some hard relationships in their life. Father, maybe there's something in 1 Peter 3, 8, 9 that applies to those places about being compassionate and humble and not repaying evil with evil, but with a blessing. And make those moments clear for us, Father, and then give us the capacity and the courage to be obedient to you in those places. We love you, and we're so thankful for today. We're thankful for a place to worship you. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm glad y'all worshiped with us this morning. As we are leaving today, if you're a guest of ours, first of all, thank you. There's a little connection card in your row. We'd love for you to fill that out. You can drop it in the connection kiosk as you leave. Those are those little black stands there at our doorway and in the hallway. If you're online, there's a tab there that says connect with us. You'll have a link right there in the chat box as you're watching. And then that is also where we take prayer requests. We pray for those every week. And so if you have some prayer concerns, we'd love to be praying with you. You can do that. You can still get connected to a group as well. And that is also, that kiosk is where we take our offering, if you brought your offering, if you're not already doing online and all that stuff. So I think I've covered all those bases. So now if you'd stand with me and we will do our blessing this morning. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. And Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power. Go be the church.